You're listening to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert, episode 18. With this episode, we will review the definition of healthy sleep for children, we'll review the five key components of Ezra Plus, and we're going to dive into part one of two reasons why the timing of sleep matters for your children. Welcome to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert. That's me, creator and host. If you have an infant or toddler, and sleep is a priority for your family, if you want to create healthy sleep habits and a strong and safe sleep foundation for your little one, if you desire a predictable schedule that permits time for things like self-care, date nights, and planned outings, if you need your bed back or want your child sleeping in their own sleep space and desire to follow safe sleep guidelines, if you crave an overall well-rested and thriving family, well, you've come to the right place. As an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I built this podcast to bring you all things infant and toddler sleep and sleep training so that you can have the confidence in making informed decisions that are best for your family when it comes to your child's sleep. Your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And moms, dads, you are worth it. Now let's dive in. Since this is a new season of the podcast, I think it is a good idea to do a quick recap of some of the basic but essential building blocks to understand sleep for your napping child. So let's first talk about that, and then we will dive into the first reason why the timing of sleep matters for your child. First, defining what healthy sleep looks like. I use the phrase catering to your child's age, with CATER being an acronym of C-A-T-R. And that is, healthy sleep is age-appropriate consolidation of sleep for an age-appropriate amount of time at the age-appropriate times of day, and these all occurring regularly. So C is for consolidation, A is for amount, T is for time, and R is for regularity. Second, we're going to define Ezra Plus. Ezra Plus is an acronym that I coined to help you remember the five key elements to consider when it comes to your child's sleep. These are the five components that I evaluate every time I work with a client, every time I create a sleep plan. E is for the sleep environment, which I discuss in episode 5 of the podcast. S is for the schedule. R is for routines. A is for the ability to fall asleep and connect sleep cycles. And the plus sign, so Ezra Plus is spelt with an E-S-R-A and then a plus sign. So the plus sign stands for anything else that we need to consider, such as how to go about sleep training strategically when night feedings are involved. What do we need to consider with the pacifier? Is daycare something we have to take into consideration? Is there anything about the schedule that needs to be taken into consideration that cannot be adjusted? There are so many little things that we need to look at depending on each child and situation. I dive into this more in episode 3 of the podcast, and I talk about catering to your child's sleep more in episode 2 of the podcast. So if you want more depth into both of those, go check out those episodes. Okay, now that we are on the same page about the basic building blocks for sleep in case we weren't to begin with, let's dig a little bit deeper into the S part of Ezra Plus, which is schedule. I've already talked about this one a lot in past episodes in different ways. I've talked about when is it time to drop a nap. I've talked about napping in the car seat, why that throws off sleep. Those all kind of contribute to the schedule. But I have not explained yet why the timing of sleep is so important. And I find it is usually pretty helpful for parents to understand the reason behind something in order to follow through with it. So for example, with the schedule, understanding the importance of it encourages parents to find a schedule that works best for their child and to stick to it as often as possible. So why is the timing of sleep so important? In order to do this, we need to discuss what drives sleep. There are two major regulatory systems that do this. In this episode, we are going to talk about one of those systems, and then in one of the following podcast episodes to come, we will do part two of this podcast episode, diving into that second system that contributes to sleep and talking about tips in order to help you be your child's timekeeper. Now, for this first system that drives sleep. The first system that we are going to discuss is the internal timing system. This consists of biological cycles that occur about every 24 hours. You probably know it as circadian rhythms or biological clocks. These involve physical, mental, and behavioral changes throughout the day. These cycles are a little bit more than 24 hours for most individuals. However, they are naturally reset with the exposure to light in the morning and darkness at night. Mark Weissbluth, author of Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child, says, "This regulatory apparatus is a molecular clock set to the proper time by sunlight. It automatically tries to ensure that the body is sleeping at the right time and that when you are asleep, the timing and amounts of different stages and types of sleep are correct." While there are several different biological clocks or circadian rhythms, let's focus on the five main that contribute to sleep. So first, the alert versus drowsy rhythm. This contributes to us shifting in and out of sleep phases throughout the day. Frequency of these shifts will depend on an individual's age and development. So for infants, these phases cycle through more frequently. And if you listen to episode 15 of the podcast where we talk about evolution of naps, you know that they start to decrease as a child gets older. For us adults, this cycle happens once a day and twice if lucky enough to be a napper. The second circadian rhythm is the sleep-wake rhythm. This occurs for an individual right after birth. However, sleep is unorganized for newborns because they do not yet have a developed suprachiasmatic nucleus. That is the area of the brain that regulates our 24-hour circadian rhythms. Third is the body temperature rhythm. This rhythm contributes to us falling asleep as our body temperature begins to fall to its daily minimum and wake as it rises to its peak. It is hard to fall asleep if this is not the case. However, for newborns, this is not yet developed. It develops around 6 weeks of age, adjusted age. So anytime I'm talking about age in this podcast or other episodes, I'm always talking about adjusted age. So around 6 weeks adjusted age, a baby's body temperature starts to contribute to sleep. This is when we see night sleep becoming more organized with an earlier bedtime being helpful. Then somewhere between 12 and 16 weeks of age, the temperature rhythm becomes more consistent, and it's at this time that we start to see day sleep becoming more organized. Fourth is the melatonin production rhythm. The suprachiasmatic nucleus uses this hormone to communicate signals of day versus night with the brain and body. Now, newborns are born with high levels of melatonin circulating. They gain this from their birthing parent. However, the high level of melatonin disappears about 1 week after birth. And then a baby will consume that hormone through breast or chest milk. It isn't until about 6 weeks of age that an infant starts to secrete their own melatonin at a very low level. And then, somewhere between 12 and 16 weeks, it begins to surge at night. It is at this time that melatonin secretion is more strongly associated with the evolving sleep-wake patterns that develop around 6 months of age. If you are curious to learn more about sleep-wake patterns, again, check out episode 15 of the podcast where I discuss the evolution of naps throughout a child's life. Fifth is the cortisol production level. Production of this hormone starts to develop between 3 to 6 months of age. This hormone peaks early in the morning and drops to its lowest levels around midnight. If consistent and structured, the 24-hour biological clocks can be influenced by several different factors. So let's go over five of them. The most natural and strongest influencer is the sun. Now, we know that we live in a world full of artificial lighting. So while our body might be ready to go to sleep earlier, we often trick ourselves in staying awake longer. But we can take advantage of this knowledge, especially for our children. Light and darkness in general can help regulate the circadian rhythms. Therefore, sleep. So when it's time to wake up, you turn on the lights, you open the curtains, you take your children outside. When it's approaching a time to sleep, we dim the lights, we close the curtains, keep your children inside to prepare their brain for sleep. This is one reason that I highly encourage a pitch black room for the sleep environment, especially at night and if you are working to lengthen naps. Another influence on the circadian rhythms, food consumption. So think about those children who snack at night. Some babies, yes, actually need those feedings. But at a certain age and a certain point for an individual child, night feedings become more of a habit as they have influence on the circadian rhythms, causing a stronger urge to wake and expect consumption of food or milk. A third influencer of the circadian rhythms is exercise. Exercise can have a huge impact on how well one sleeps. So for your children, get them moving around. And for yourself, think about that as well if you're having trouble sleeping. Number 4 of 5, temperature. As mentioned before, our body temperature tries to regulate with the temperature rhythm being one of the 24-hour patterns. However, we can contribute to better sleep by making sure that the house and bedrooms are cool enough in order for those temperature levels to drop. And last but not least, regularly timed social interactions. Think about this one for a moment. If your child is waking in the middle of the night or early in the morning, how are you engaging, if at all? The more engagement they receive, the more likely they will be to continuously wake up and expect that social interaction. Now keep in mind, I'm not talking about, you know, night feedings or if your child needs a diaper change. I'm talking about where your child is waking and you are responding in some way, rather than them normally waking at certain times at night and then transitioning between sleep cycles on their own. Something to note about sleep. It is normal for everyone to wake a few times throughout the night, and it is normal to wake more frequently the closer to morning that we get. That's just the nature of sleep. However, the difference for children when it comes to how frequently they wake in the middle of the night, and I say that with air quotes, is whether or not they are calling out for assistance or if they are able to fall asleep and connect those sleep cycles on their own when it's not a time for a true feeding. Now back to the circadian rhythms. Gradually, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, that area of the brain that helps to regulate the 24-hour cycle, starts to recognize these repeated signals as an infant develops. So daylight, temperature change, feedings, as long as they are highly structured, social engagement, exercise, these repeated signals and high structure establish a stronger 24-hour rhythm. So you can help your child with their sleep by creating regularity within their schedule. By 1 year of age, the suprachiasmatic nucleus of an infant takes complete control of the circadian rhythms, and by 4 years of age, the circadian rhythms dominate a child's sleep behavior with a long night of sleep and a single daytime nap. So there's an explanation of the first system that regulates sleep and a little bit about how it develops over time. So something else that's normal about sleep is that it evolves. So when I talk to clients and they are telling me something like, well, my child used to sleep so well when they were a newborn, we could do this, but now it doesn't work. That makes sense. Sleep evolves. So what works for a newborn is not always going to work for a 6-month-old, for example. Now, this is just one of the two systems, like I said, that drive sleep. In a future episode of the podcast, we will go over the other system that regulates sleep, and we will discuss how the two systems work together indirectly to drive sleep. And that is where I guarantee you will have that aha moment to realize, oh, that's why the timing of sleep is so important. So with that, I want to add one other thing. I've mentioned it before, but just in case, or, you know, for a quick refresher, sleep training is more than just choosing a sleep training method. If you don't have the right schedule for your child, it is still difficult to help them improve their sleep regardless of the type of engagement or interaction you choose or choose not to do when it comes to sleep training. So make sure that you are not skipping those other components of Ezra Plus. Don't just focus on the A. You've got to focus on all 5 components. If you're not sure what schedule your child needs, or you just need help in general with the whole process of sleep training, please reach out to me. That's what I do. I help families one-on-one to either be proactive with their child's sleep or to help when it comes to sleep struggles, whether it has to do with naps or bedtime. I support families all over the United States virtually. We have a consultation on Zoom, I create a customized sleep plan based on your situation, and then I support you as you implement that sleep plan. And yes, like I said, it's all done virtually. If you would like to discuss your situation and how I might be able to serve you, schedule a discovery session with me at www.afterthestorksleep.com/book-online. That's afterthestorksleep.com/book-online. Remember, your child's worth it, your family's worth it, and you are worth it. Thanks for tuning in to the After the Stork podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. By doing all of these things, you can help me to reach more families in need of guidance with their little one's sleep. And if you don't already, follow me on Facebook and Instagram using the handle @afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan. And if you desire support with your little one's sleep journey, you can reach out to me directly on either one of those platforms. I hope to see you there.